And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I was streaming the big lead last hour on Facebook Live, and the first comment was, "Wow, Dory and Lisa Brooks, haven't heard you two together since your King 1090 days."
Oh, I get all sentimental hearing that.
How long ago? That was like 28 years ago, Lisa.
Was it really? Oh, my.
I was just a child.
You were about four, and I was about five, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Lisa and I worked with Pat Cashman. Yeah. Pat was the host. Lisa was the news person, and I was like the goofy sidekick.
It was great. I remember when Bill Clinton was elected, we sent you to the town of Clinton, yeah. Washington.
How stupid was that?
Remember the day you got towed?
We were trying anything because nobody listened to the radio station.
Right.
We were trying to go up against the big dog, Cairo. And finally, it was just, I can't beat him, so I might as well join him. So, yeah. And so you reminded me when I saw you this morning that my wife and I had our first baby.
Yeah.
While we were working together, yep, in 1989, and I just showed you the picture on my desk of my little baby, 1989 baby's wedding a few months ago with her sisters who are 24 and 23 now.
Beautiful family.
Oh, thanks.
You're blessed.
I'm very blessed. That is something I absolutely agree on. But man, 28, that's exactly half my lifetime.
Oh,
28
my
years.
Wow.
That's incredible. Well, it's great to see you again.
Very good to see
I'm
you.
I'm glad
too.
You're here.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into the Fastest 50. Oh, before I do that, Drew, I have a new, by the way, Drew Barth is with us.
Howdy.
Nicole is still completing her European vacation.
I believe she's gallivanting.
She is gallivanting. I talked to her after the show yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had some gossip.
Oh, ooh, some inside dirt.
So she's in Dublin. She's in London today. She's coming home tomorrow, but she's not going to be here for the show. She'll be back on Monday. I have, and it's not a new show, but I have a new television obsession.
Ooh.
And was my show prep up to speed, up to snuff today?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, good. Because I watched this. I started watching it in London.
Uh-huh.
Have you watched Homeland?
I have seen the first couple seasons of it, and it is entrancing.
It rivals 24. It might even be better than 24.
Mm.
As far as if I watch it right before I'm going to bed, I am wired. I cannot sleep for an hour or two. And so last night, I watched two episodes from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. I got up at 6, and you know how maniacal I am about mm-hmm. preparing for this show.
Mm-hmm.
I get up, and I start working on the show. This morning, I got up at 6, and I watched an episode of Homeland.
See, that's the sign of a truly good show, is that anybody can binge late into the night. But when you find yourself waking up early in the morning to keep it going, that's when you know it's got you.
My goodness, it's a great show. I know, it's like 7-year-old news that I'm telling right now.
But at the same time, you know you have so much ahead of you. It's
yes.
like if you open a book that you really like, you're like, boy, there's so much book ahead of me.
Are the other seasons as good as season one?
The other seasons, I would say the next couple are pretty entertaining, but it kind of lost me when it got to like the fourth season or so.
Okay, well, it'll probably lose me by then too, but oh my goodness. So, and here's what was scary. I was watching it in London on Netflix. So I'm so excited because I go to the gym every morning on my way here. And I go to the gym yesterday and to pull up Homeland, it's not on Netflix US. So now I'm in a total panic. So last night, but it's on Amazon Prime.
There you go.
Yeah. So I was able to watch it there. But oh, golly, that's good. That's my new obsession.
Can you work out while you're watching that show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't lift as much anymore. So I do cardio.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have my iPad.
Mm.
Oh. Man, it's good. Anyway. That's my new obsession in life. So if the show seems lacking in the weeks to come, it's because I wasn't prep. I gave away prep time to Homeland. And boy, it's just the Claire Danes, unbelievable actress.
Yeah, she. I really loved her back in the day when she was in that Romeo and Juliet movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to go back. Wasn't she in like My So-Called Life as a teenager?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, she she's made a very successful transition from kind of young star to more adult, and now I can't even look at her and think of the young person anymore.
And easy on the eyes.
Yes, she is. She does that purposefully for you, Dory.
Oh, bless her heart. Okay, we got a lot of news to talk about here in the Fastest 15. We have a lot of serious news once again, and we don't know if this is related to... You know, so many of the crimes in our region seem to be related to the drug vagrancy around here. But when we hear about these neighborhoods that have been just safe family places, and more we seem to be hearing about things like this. An intensive manhunt yesterday came up empty. They were looking for a man who sexually assaulted a woman at a Snohomish County park just north of Linwood. The woman was just going for a walk. 9 o'clock in the morning, she says she was sexually assaulted by a man with a knife. The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office spokesperson, Courtney O'Keefe, talked about how the attack happened.
The suspect did grab her from the trail, and I'm not sure how, but the incident occurred just off the trail in a wooded area.
And the woman was walking by herself. It's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday.
Just walking the trail. She was by herself, and there are no witnesses of the attack.
And Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked to neighbor Leanna Irwin, who was also planning on walking that trail.
I'm concerned because I really actually wanted to start walking down that trail by myself.
And Sandy Herman, who lives nearby, also told ComoNews.com that she walks in that park.
It makes me angry. Never even think about, you know, should I take a friend with me or take other precautions. And it makes me angry. We shouldn't have to worry about going out and getting some fresh air.
But this is happening all around our region, also in Kirkland, Northwest University, where a transient attacked security guard has been charged with assault. This story happened a couple of weeks ago. I just found out about it now. But a 21-year-old guy, he's charged with assault, second and third degree. He drew a knife, grabbed the genitals, and bit the chest of two security guards in the library at Northwest University in Kirkland. The officials described this man as a transient male, a claim substantiated by court documents. This 21-year-old guy has arrest and charging histories over the last 3 years in Indiana, Illinois, and Oregon. What? All of our government officials have been telling us that the homeless are homegrown. They're the guys we went to elementary school with, and they just fell on some hard times. No, it's actually what I've been telling you. Once again, the politicians lie to you. I give you the truth. Our lax drug policies, legalizing every drug, heroin, meth, cocaine in King and Snohomish counties in possession amounts. The fact that we have taken a part of the jail and we're turning it into a homeless shelter. Because, as Dale Constantine says, that better reflects our values. We don't want to lock up criminals. We want to coddle them. Well, the word is out. In King County, they're going to give you a place where you can shoot up heroin. And government will provide you that location. So, of course, you won't be busted here. Sally Dime Bagshaw wants to look into whether the taxpayers should purchase the heroin for the addict. So, of course, we have the addicts coming from all around the country here. And when they commit these assaults all around our region, just look at people like Mike O'Brien, the sex vulture, and other politicians like him who have done everything that they possibly can to turn our region into the drug magnet of the United States of America. Up next in the Fastest 15, did you see the video of what happened in West Seattle.
It's fantastic.
It's just unbelievable. So a huge truck carrying these big 2-pound metal balls. They look like they're about the size of croquet balls.
Mm-hmm.
And the load spills on a hilly street, and they're bouncing. I tell you what, you got to have some big balls to have an accident like that.
You definitely do, because they're not going to stop for anybody.
So it on Southwest Genesee Street, the balls start spilling down the road, and I mean it's quite a sight. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they had the video. I think a couple stations had this. The gnat sound of the balls rolling down the street, hitting cars that are driving and parked. I mean, from just the audio, that sounds like it could be rain or hail.
Certainly.
These are 2-pound. And did you see what they're used for?
Are they for fishing weights or?
No. They can put, like, boulders in a tumbler with them, and they grind down rocks.
Oh, like a giant rock polisher.
Yeah, they're used to grind down rocks. And so a neighbor, Luke Gills, talked to ComoNews.com.
I got home from work, and I couldn't park on my street because there's hundreds of thousands of steel balls on it.
And the truck driver, the Channel 4 talked to, he was a colorful guy, and he was very honest. This is my load. I pulled over. I called 911.
I'm looking back, and then I see all these balls rolling down the street. And I said, holy shit. And then I called 911, and they said, oh, are you that guy with all the balls rolling down the street? And I go, yeah, that's me.
I love that guy. He's got a missing tooth, you know, bottom front tooth. Mm-hmm. He just looks like a... But he didn't shirk away from it at all. He just... he was a very colorful guy, I thought.
I feel like I've seen videos of people taking bouncy balls and throwing, like, a big box of those down one of the huge hills down in San Francisco. But I can't even possibly imagine. I mean, that seems like a headache in and of itself.
Well, this could kill somebody.
Oh, easily.
It's some, you know... kicked up and hit someone in the head. It could cripple you. But thankfully, nobody was hurt. But it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely crazy scene. Next up in the Fastest 15, finally Hollywood is taking down an opponent that deserves to be taken down. Disney cartoon characters. Actress Keira Knightley, best known for her performance in...
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never seen any of those. Keira Knightley, she says that she will not let her kids watch certain Disney movies.
And she's banned from seeing certain children's movies, right?
Yeah.
What are they?
Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
Banned. Because, you know, she waits around for a rich guy to rescue her. Don't rescue yourself,
right.
Obviously.
Right.
Oh, please. Is that worthy of applause? It's a little fairy tale. It's been around for a couple hundred years. Don't wait for a rich person to come rescue you. Woo! Please. Oh, how woke.
And this is the one that I'm quite annoyed about because I really like the film, but Little Mermaid. I mean, the songs are great, but do not give your voice up for a man. Hello? Wow. Oh, The Little Mermaid. I love The Little Mermaid, so I'm having that. That one's a little tricky one, but no, but I'm keeping to it.
By the way, I heard that Elizabeth Warren is 1/1024th mermaid. That was in her DNA report there. And she's not the only one. I mean, because these movies, I was just asking you yesterday, Drew, if you and your wife were going to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You said you might not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when my girls were Little Mermaid, I'll tell you one of the greatest joys in a young parent's life.
Hmm.
And this happened to be, today would be when they can figure out Netflix on their own.
Sure.
But when our daughter, when we only had one kid, when she was about 3, she could figure out how to wake up on Saturday morning and load Little Mermaid into the VCR.
If there's one thing that I think a lot of people, kids have memories of, is when they would start up that tape. And if there's one thing that was really loud, it was the coming soon to DVD. And everybody didn't run for the TV and turn it down. By the way, you did hear that there is one character that she is totally on board with.
I have not heard this.
Yes. Apparently, as she was talking to Ellen, she was saying that, yeah, of course, yeah, there's some Disney problems, but there is still There's one character that she has no problem with it.
She is, however, allowed to. Dory is a big favorite in our
house. Of course. There's nothing wrong with Dory.
You know, yes. Frozen is huge. Moana, yeah. Totally fine.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's some good ones. But
there are some great ones.
Mainly Dory.
So Keira Knightley, apparently she and her daughter.
Huge fans.
Every afternoon from noon to 3, they fire up the Cairo radio app. And they sit and listen.
And it's difficult because they're international, so they have to adjust for the time. But, yeah, they'll find the time.
Oh, man. Bless that Keira Knightley. You know what? I'm not going to watch that Pirates of the Caribbean movie because I don't like period pieces. But next time I'm at Disneyland, I'm going to go on the ride just for you, Keira, since you like my show so much. So, anyway, my thanks to Keira Knightley, Hollywood superstar, best known for her appearance in, what was it?
The Pirates of the Caribbean film.
Yeah, best known for that.
They've only made hundreds of millions of dollars.
For being such a big fan of the big show. Oh, and Kristen Bell is also talking about this. Kristen Bell is concerned about what certain Disney stories teach kids about consent. In Parents Magazine, she said that in Snow White. Said, I look at my girls and ask, don't you think it's weird that Snow White didn't ask the old witch why she needed to eat the apple or where she got that apple? I say, I would never take food from a stranger, would you? And my kids are like, no. And I'm like, I'm doing something right, she said. So, this is the latest cause. Snow White, Cinderella, and Little Mermaid. Bless all of their hearts. Okay, and finally in the fastest 15. Did you see these pictures of Louis C.K.? Since you are a stand-up comic, Louis C.K. has been underground ever since it was revealed and he admitted and apologized for that he would whip out his private parts and he would invite some female comics up to his dressing room and then he would just start pleasuring himself in front of them. And he seemed to do this all the time.
Yeah, with her. Like. Yeah, and with a weird sort of asking permission and then doing it anyways.
Yeah. And nobody would grant permission for that, would they?
I can't imagine that they would. Anybody who would say yes, I doubt that they were really desiring it.
No. So Louis C.K., who, I mean, as I understand, and you can tell me better than this, is probably among other comics the most revered of this current generation.
At least before all this stuff started, I think a lot of people would look at him and say that is a person at the top of their game.
He did an appearance at the West Side Comedy Club in New York a couple nights ago, and it was the first time he talked about it during a comedy set. He said he's lost $35 million in an hour. When that scandal first broke, because he had the show on FX, I believe, called Louis, and he had a big Netflix deal. It all vaporized.
He had a movie that he was about to release.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it was a movie that actually kind of painted a thing up. It was supposedly his daughter who was falling in love with an older man. So it was the timing of it could not have been worse.
And we were looking at these pictures of him. He seriously looks like he's put on 20 years in the last year and a half.
It looks like the stress and anxiety is just really taking a physical toll on him.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, he had lost a bunch of weight before all of this. And he was in a relationship. I don't know if it was marriage that broke up. So he's single again. He lost all this weight. And now he's put it all back on and more, and he just looks like he's 65 years old again. That's the toll of being kind of a creepy perv, and that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast Dory's fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. We're going to check the news for you, and then there's an issue coming up on the ballot statewide that is one of the more outrageous. And you got to know one of the details of this initiative before you cast your vote. Don't go anywhere. Out MyNorthwest.com, my ballot recommendations, endorsements, so you can vote a straight Dory ticket. And one of those issues is I-940, where I am an absolute no vote. I will tell you why in the course of this conversation. Somebody with the No on I-40 group, they're called the Coalition for a Safer Washington. Mike Solon. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Mike, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hey, Dory. Appreciative of the opportunity to explain and educate voters as to how awful I-940 is to our communities statewide and the law enforcement professional men and women that provide those communities with safety.
Okay, and you are part of the law enforcement community as well, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about this, because I've got the Yes Campaign's material right in front of me. They say that this will save lives and prevent tragedies through training and increased accountability. What's wrong with that?
Well, I tell you, there's one thing and only one thing that we agree on, both sides, is that we are all for saving lives. I don't know any law enforcement officer that I work with or that I know that wants to take a life. The problem with 940 is the devil is in the details. 940 is not about training. That is a false claim. What this is truly about is to make it very, very easy to politically prosecute police officers for doing their jobs. And ultimately, at the end of the day, if officers hesitate with making those human dynamic split-second decisions, I think everybody across the state should be concerned that if they hesitate, their safety could be in jeopardy, as well as the law enforcement officer that has to make that decision.
Well,
this
yeah,
is an awful
yeah,
look, initiative.
Look, there's no question that in a life-or-death situation, if you hesitate, you can die. Now, they say, the Yes Campaign says that it will mandate de-escalation training, which I know cops all receive already. They all say it will require mental health training, which is currently not required. What do you say?
Well, I could say that that is not what 940 is about. But to answer your question even more succinctly, we already receive this mandatory training at a courtesy of the taxpayers that have paid into this training, that it goes statewide. It's RCW 43-101-427. That money was allocated for the Criminal Justice Training Commission to train every officer in this state with an 8-hour block of instruction, a 2-hour refresher, and they can participate in a 40-hour basic course, an in-depth dive into this training. And that training is a national and international model that agencies want to emulate. And I'm told the completion rate for this training already done, and courtesy of the taxpayers paying into it, they have a 90% completion rate, and they're adding 8 regional programs across the state with 12 more of 40-hour classes. So I can just tell you, as of May 25th of 2018, these are statistics from the Criminal Justice Training Commission. Everybody can look this up. There are over 2,000 officers trained with the current 40-hour block. I'm told now it's over 3,000. So this isn't about training. Be clear.
Right. No,
we already received this training. This is about making it easier to politically prosecute police officers.
Well, and that's where we get into what is the most disturbing part of I-940. And they say that community stakeholders would establish curriculum and rulemaking, and then they have a list of the community stakeholders. Persons with disabilities, members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community, persons of color, immigrants, non-citizens, Native Americans, youth, and formerly incarcerated persons. So, if this passes, we're going to have illegals, children, and criminals sitting in judgment of our police officers in this state?
That's right, Tori.
I mean, this is unbelievable, Mike.
That's right.
Absolutely unbelievable to me.
So for your audience's education on this, this is how important we vote no on 940. 940 is the first test to take this model and take it nationwide. Look at California, what's happening in California. It's called Assembly Bill 931. Within California, unions were able to push it back until their next session.
Right.
They're looking closely at us right now. If we fall, if 940 is put into law, California is next, and they'll take this all the way to the Mississippi. We must stop 940. It is a social justice agenda that the nucleus, the brainchild, started here in King County, and I do not, or nor should the communities across the state want, Seattle's social justice ideology
yeah.
infecting the voters across this state.
Well, here's the other worst part of it, is right now Seattle police are understaffed by about 800 officers because we don't prioritize cops in the budget as we should, which is why criminals have taken over the streets of Seattle. We're having a tough time attracting people to the profession because they're seeing the public persecution. They're seeing the media persecution in so many quarters. And now we're going to have criminals and illegals and children sit in judgment of our cops in our state. Who in their right mind would want to be a police officer in our region at a time when we need more great cops? This is one of the stupider ballot measures that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, it absolutely it is. And it's very troubling. It's troubling that we're in this state in our society to have this kind of conversation. I can tell you that police officers are human beings. We're moms and dads. We're brothers and sisters. We're coaches. We're neighbors. We do not want to take anybody's life. In fact, we took an oath to preserve life. If this thing goes, we're already talking about mass exodus in the city of Seattle due to the lack of support.
Sure.
If this thing gets voted in, think about the ramifications of this. This isn't a threat. This would be reality. There will be an explosion of crisis as far as staffing, current recruiting, and retention, not only locally here, statewide. And look at what's happening nationwide. If this thing gets into law here, you're going to see that completely infect the entire nation and completely rewriting law enforcement, how we interact with the public. This is very sad. We are all for having a discussion regarding use of force, but this does not get it done.
No, it doesn't. This is as bad as they get. I-940 is a big no vote, and if you fall for the nonsense of the ballot title and all of the rest, shame on you, because you read the details of this thing and you know it's going to make our community far more dangerous. Mike Solon, he is with the No Group, a coalition for a safer Washington. Mike, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hey, Dory, thanks a lot. If people have any other thing to think about and look into this, coalitionforasaferwashington.com. We could use some help. They've definitely got the financial backing, and we need help. Thank you very much, Dory.
Got it. Mike Solon, Coalition for a Safer Washington. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me, the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I got some criticism during and after yesterday's show. I know what you're thinking. You? Criticism? I know. It surprised me, too. I'm used to everybody agreeing with everything that I say. I was talking about this man. His name is Rachel McKinnon, and he won a gold medal at the Women's World Track Cycling Championships a few days ago. Rachel identifies as a woman, but he's clearly a man. He's done nothing biologically or through hormone therapy or anything to transition into being a woman. And so what I've said a million times is I was actually a very early supporter. 20 years ago on my show, I was talking about transgender rights and all of that stuff. But there are certain circumstances like, and I mentioned this during today's sign when I was talking about this yesterday. Down in Portland, a man and woman were having a baby, and she was pregnant. She identifies as a man. And everybody in the media said, a man is pregnant. Well, no, a woman's pregnant. She was having a baby. You have to have a uterus to have a baby, and only women have a uterus. So I'm not going to call somebody who's a woman a man. And what's really scary is there's a lot of powerful forces that are trying to work with government to say, if you call a man, but he says he identifies as a woman, you could be prosecuted for hate speech. There are some countries that are already putting in laws, and there are powerful attempts to do that in our country. So anyway, this guy wins the World Track Championships. if you have to see the picture of him and the two women who got the silver and bronze medals. I put them up on my Twitter account, and I haven't tweeted since then, so it would be at the very top. Just go to, and I didn't do it on the show account. I did it on my personal one, at Dori Monson on Twitter, DoriMonson. But the last tweet I did, it's a picture. I retweeted a picture of this dude, Rachel McKinnon. He's huge. He's huge. He has muscular, big man thighs. He has a thick, muscular man's chest. The two women are petite. And they are women, by the way. And I'm not going to change my language. If he wants to call himself a woman, he's free to do so. Go ahead. But I'll be darned if government or the forces of political correctness or the social justice warriors, if they're going to get me. I mean, it makes as much sense to call him a woman as it does to call Rachel Dolezal an African-American. It's not true. It's simply not true. And I only will take such a rigid stand when it is so patent, like the woman who is pregnant in Portland. A man cannot get pregnant. I am not going to do what everybody else in the media does for the sake of political correctness. I just won't do that. When a man competes against women in a track championship, and I'm telling you, go look at the picture. He's several inches taller than the second and third place finishers. And he's got a man's physique. He's done nothing to, physically transform into being a woman. And so I get emails yesterday and text messages. One listener called me a jerk for misgendering her. No, you're just being a phony for misgendering him. There's no difference between, and again, in the field of athletic competition, you had a boy, a Connecticut high school boy who won, two boys, who won girls' state track championships in Connecticut just a few months ago. You had a boy who medaled in track in the Alaska state championship here in Washington. Biological boys can, if they just say, I identify as girl, they can play girls' sports under WIAA rules. And it's a horrible, damaging trend when it impacts the honest women competitors in sports. And so you can think I'm a jerk all you want for misgendering her, but in this case, I'm going to call a man a man. And the big lead at two is next.